Podcasts from the Cochrane Library, the latest evidence for healthcare decision making.
I'm Rachel Marshall, editor at the Cochrane Editorial Unit. Premature babies are vulnerable and often require intensive care to survive. This might include blood transfusion to treat anemia. In November 2011, Robin White and Haresh Kirpalani published their Cochrane review of the use of different hemoglobin thresholds for triggering a blood transfusion in very low birth weight babies. Robin, who works at the Department of Neonatal Pediatrics in Halifax, Nova Scotia, in Canada, tells us more.
When using blood transfusions to raise the hemoglobin of premature babies with anemia, being sure about when to transfuse would be equivalent to knowing when the baby's hemoglobin level is at the lowest level compatible with health, safety, and good growth and development. This value is unknown, but it is likely that chronic anemia leads to cardiorespiratory problems, poor growth, and neurodevelopmental impairment. However, the consequence of using too high a threshold and transfusing too early is unnecessary exposure to the risks of transfusion itself. In the 1980s, low birth weight infants were receiving more blood transfusions than they are now. Within our Cochrane review, we regarded liberal practice, using high hemoglobin thresholds, as the standard therapy, while restrictive practice, using low hemoglobin thresholds, is treated as the new intervention. We selected studies that recruited infants weighing under 1500 grams at birth, or who were born at less than 32 weeks gestational age, randomized within 1 week of birth. The intervention was a restrictive protocol for blood transfusion, either based on hemoglobin thresholds, criterion 1, or one with avoidance of routine blood transfusion altogether, criterion 2. The restrictive protocol was compared with one that used higher hemoglobin levels for transfusion in the first criterion, or used routine transfusion in the second. We found only one small study for criterion 2, which showed no significant differences in short-term clinical outcomes, when clinical findings rather than hemoglobin levels were used to drive transfusions. There was more evidence for criterion 1, with a total of 651 babies from four separate randomized trials. The largest study, the PINT study, which was done in Canada, Australia, and the USA, used death or neurodevelopmental disability as its primary outcome. The smaller studies focused mainly on the numbers of transfusions received. The liberal transfusion protocols resulted in a statistically significant but quite small difference in transfusion frequency and hemoglobin levels, which reflects the large size of the transfusions administered. We did not detect a difference in the primary outcome, death or severe morbidity at hospital discharge, or death or neurodevelopmental outcome at 18 to 21 months. However, in the only trial reporting data on what happened to the babies as they got older, a secondary outcome, cognitive function, was close to favouring the liberal strategy in the originally planned analysis, and the primary outcome clearly favoured the liberal strategy when a less severe definition was used for cognitive function. This added uncertainty about which of the results to emphasize deserves a cautionary qualification to the main result. And until further trials with follow-up have been conducted, and this will take a decade, hemoglobin levels should be maintained above a simplified schedule provided in the discussion in the review.
Details on the five studies in this review and their results are available in the full Cochrane review at thecochranelibrary.com, which is where you will also find updates of the review.